I am excited for today. Like I mentioned, my name is Michael Tropea. I serve as the campus pastor. I am a little under the weather, so please give me grace for my voice to survive a second service. And if you hear weird noises, just go with it. Just go with it. But I'm excited to continue our Galatians series. We have two more weeks after this, but we're going to be in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. So you can turn there right now. But before I read from what Paul continues to share in Galatians, I want to set up something for us as it relates to this passage. So as many of you know, and I've said multiple times, about 10 months ago, I came on board here as the campus pastor, and I moved from upstate New York, and I had some expectations or some perceived notions about what East Texas was going to be like. I was expecting an accent and that you would be wrong in how you say things and I would be right. And I say things right and apparently you say things wrong. Kidding, totally kidding. But I had some preconceived notions about certain things. It would be hotter. I understood it would be hotter and that is valid. But here's what I didn't expect. I didn't expect there to be all these storms and all this hail in a very short time of living here. And one of the things that I also didn't expect is that I'd have to take caution about things I never worried about before coming here. And one of those things is this. Fallen trees. And so this is a picture of a fallen tree right in our area near Andy Woods where I live, of a tree that fell this week. I never thought in my life I would have to be worried about trees falling or breaking so often than before I moved here. I never thought I'd have to worry about it at all. In my home, we actually had 5 trees when we bought the home back in August. We are now down to 3, and I never thought I'd actually have to put a line item in my yearly budget to cut down trees, but it's there. And what I found out is this tree, which was beautiful and huge and big, it didn't survive the storm, and why is that? Let's go to the next page. So that is the root system on these trees. And if you actually take a closer inspection of the roots, it has a lot of roots, but they're small and shallow, and they don't hold up. And actually, in the middle where the trunk is, this is how big the actual main root line is. And it doesn't go deep at all. Hence why when the water came and the winds went any which way, that's why this thing fell. And this is the destruction that it had. It actually caused us to be without power for 12 hours. Some people are still with partial power. I'm sorry. Some people still don't have power. I'm sorry. But this is the devastation that shallow-rooted trees have in the wake of storms and winds in life. It not only applies to actuality, but it applies to life as well. And so the reason why I share this example is because as we transition to Galatians 5, 16 through 26, Paul is going to be going on the inward parts of our hearts and our lives. He's going to be doing a deeper dive to the war, the storm that we face as believers and what happens in our hearts. And if we aren't deeply rooted in who Jesus is and have shallow roots in our life and faith, we will tip over. We will not live as God has designed us to live, which is deeply rooted lives in him that produce fruit from the Spirit. So we're going to read in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26 together right now. And we'll discover more what Paul's speaking to the Galatians and to us today. He says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25 says this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You see, in leading up to this chapter, these verses in Galatians, Paul has been speaking this to the Galatians and really going hard after them, saying, hey, this is about the story you've been invited into. The gospel that I preached to you is by grace alone. It is by the grace of God that Jesus was extended to you. And it is by believing, by faith in what Jesus has done, that you are justified, that you are made right with God. It's not your own doing. It's nothing that you could earn. It's nothing you could work for or be good enough. No, it's merely by faith in what Jesus has done that you are justified. And then he goes on to say, you are sons and heirs, and Christ is now being formed in you as you submit to him in your lives. And the purpose of which Jesus came was to set you free, to bring relational rest between God and you because of what Jesus secured on the cross. And the purpose of your lives now, your freedom was given to serve others, to pour your lives out. But now Paul is turning inward. He's saying, this is where it all starts. The soul level, the inward parts of our being. And this is where Paul is transitioning to in this section. And you want to live as God intended you, with freedom as the fruit of your walk with him, you must feed the correct seed. You must feed the correct seed. Now, before I go in any more, I want to quickly dive into one thing. When Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians, he's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to believers. And so the reason why I share that is because I'm going to be speaking about something that he's targeting at believers and someone who's been created and a new creation and whose spirit has been given to the believer. But if you are an unbeliever in this room, if you don't believe in Jesus, and I'm not naive to believe that all of us in this room are walking with God. Some people just showed up because you were dragged here by someone. Some of you are just trying to navigate Jesus in faith. I'm going to put this before you that, yes, you are going to hear about Jesus, the Savior. But this war that believers fight in day in, day out, you are apart from that because you haven't submitted your lives to Jesus. You haven't made him hero of your lives. And at the ultimate end of that is a cavern between you and God. But the beautiful gospel is this, that God died for you too. He died for your sin to bring you back into right relationship with him and bring you into the design purpose of your life, which is to be with him and glorify him with your lives. And you can step into that today. And the gospel is simply this to you. Jesus died as if he sinned so I could live as if I didn't. Jesus died as if he sinned so I could live as if he didn't. We have new life for those who are in Christ Jesus today, but apart from him, we can do nothing. And so my encouragement for you would be press in, see what God is inspiring your heart to today to understand what life is like with knowing him. But like I said, Paul is speaking to the Galatians, the believers in this letter, and what does he point out within these first few verses? It's something I want to share with you, and it's this. There is a war over what seed you feed. There is a war in the life of a believer, in the life of the Galatians, over what seed you feed. You see, Paul begins to build out this inner conflict for the Galatians, for the believers, by contrasting the opposition between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. He says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's tension there. And then he goes on to say the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and these desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. There is opposition at play. And he goes on to say, they keep you from doing the things you want to do. There's war. So there's tension. There's opposition. There's war in our hearts, even as believers. There's a spiritual war that we must be aware of as the church, that we, who as Christians, are consistently in. And if we aren't aware, then we will be left lukewarm. We will be left naive. We will be left shallow-rooted believers. And that is not what God has designed. So in keeping with this tree theme that you'll hear throughout my message today, we must understand the flesh and the Holy Spirit. You see, the first tree that exists in our hearts today is the tree of flesh. In this passage, the Greek word is sarkos, which means the flesh of the whole man, the body, the soul, the reason, and all the faculties that is bent towards ungodliness and sin and opposed to God. What that means is that everything in my mind, in my body, soul, that wants to please myself and I, at the, no matter what the cost, and those even good deeds can be rooted in selfishness. Part of our hearts are rooted in the seed that brings this to bear, which is sin, our inherent default setting as humans. And that still exists in the here and now reality that we live in. We must understand that there is a seed of sin that feeds the tree of flesh. And on the other hand, the tree of the Spirit is the pneumati, the Greek word in this case, which is the Spirit of God himself. God himself, upon conversion, upon submission to your life as Jesus is Savior and I am not, he gives you the indwelling Spirit to convict you of sin, to transform us inwardly, to bring new life as God has originally designed, to suppress the evil things that our flesh wants to go towards. And what seed brings this to bear? This is the seed of the gospel. The seed of the gospel. Jesus alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. That is the gospel that frees us. You see, these two trees are at war in the Galatians' hearts. They're at war in our hearts, causing us and them to doubt and be disobedient. This is the war that we are currently in, and what seed we feed and cultivate matters. Let me explain an illustration for us. For me, I got married 12 years ago. I had to think for a second. Alexa's not here. She can forgive me later. We got married 12 years ago, and I experienced this inner battle upon getting married. Some people get married, and they have the best year, best first year, honeymoon year. Yeah, that was not us. Our first year of marriage was hard. And why is that? Because we didn't know, we had two different backgrounds and dynamics of how to handle conflict. I grew up in a home that just handled conflict loud, out in the open, wanted to solve it right away, really didn't get space to process, and really the conflict that I saw was wanting to win the argument. And my wife's side of things, she didn't see conflict really in an ongoing basis, not in a bad way, but just didn't see it present. So how to handle it was something foreign to her. And so here's what happened. I saw this theme play out. I wanted to be right all the time. Any of you just want to be right all the time? Yeah, there we go. We got some hands. I wanted to solve it right away instead of understanding that she was a processor and she didn't process the same way. My pride didn't care if I blew her over as long as it was resolved and I won. You see, my flesh reared its ugly head in anger and it just made things worse. I did it on my own. I didn't let the gospel capture my heart at that time. I didn't let community know that was going on, and I lived in isolation. And this was the seed of sin in my own life. And I fed it a steady diet of pride, selfishness, isolation, and what did I get? More of it. More of it. But by God's grace, over a period of years and through his Spirit, I realized more and more as I walked through marriage, it wasn't about winning the argument. Marriage was about winning the oneness. Winning our marriage. And how did this happen? It didn't just happen. As I spent time with God, as I spent time understanding his word, discovering truth about who I am, and let it read me and see who I'm not. What God has designed me as a husband, as a family shepherd, and how it, what was going to be required of me. And how it was to love Alexa as Christ loved the church. As I stepped into accountable community to let them into my heart and where it was broken and depraved. And as I slowly but surely was obedient over a period of time, more and more and more, day by day, over a set of years, I began to change. Slowly but surely. Did I still want to be right? Absolutely, I do. Do I still happen to get angry? Yes, I'm not a finished product. But have those fits of anger, have those dissensions, has that pride been diminishing as I let the gospel take root in my heart? You got it. Because the Spirit, the seed of the Spirit, seed of the gospel, by his Spirit is beginning to grow in me. And why do I share that? It's because there is a war in my heart, in your heart, in our culture, in the Galatians' heart that Paul speaks to that we need to be aware of. And what we feed will ultimately grow. The seed of sin versus the seed of the gospel. The seed of sin produces fruit that is opposed to God. And we will get all of those things that were mentioned if we keep on feeding the seed of sin. But if we feed the seed of the gospel, the fruit grows by his grace. My question for you is, are you even aware that a war exists to feed the seed of sin or the gospel today in your heart? Or are you unaware? Because that's the first place where we can see and begin to grow is when we are aware that we are in a war over what seed we feed. Paul is saying to the Galatians that this war exists. Feed the right one. Recognize it. But he goes on in verses 19 to 23 to bring something else out for us, and it's this: healthy fruits come from deep roots. Healthy fruits come from deep roots. You see, what I realize, what Paul is communicating to the Galatians in this passage is that healthy fruit in our lives doesn't come about by staring at the fruit. It doesn't happen by staring at love, staring at peace, and saying, I'm going to be these things. No, it's not about focusing on the fruit. It's focusing on the root of our lives. It's not about focusing on the fruit, but on the root. And here's what happens. Like I mentioned before, when you feed the seed of sin in your life, you will get actions and works that are of the flesh. What are they? Paul lays them out for us. Sexual immorality. Anyone struggle there? Impurity, dissensions, divisions, jealousy. None of that's happening today, right? None of that happens in our lives today. Drunkenness, orgies, enmity, strife, and things like them, and you will not ultimately inherit the kingdom. That is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. Can any of these works be seen in your life if you're being honest today? Any of these works dominate your life today? Can any of these works be seen in the culture around us? Right? Like, there's no dissension in culture today, is there? Right? We can have healthy conversation, open to opinion, open to change, without anything happening. Wrong. We see it all around us. Culture isn't getting more sexually pure. If anything, it's getting more defiled and away from God's good design of sexual purity within a covenant marriage. And we are reaping the benefits of that as a culture. You see, me personally, I think I've shared this before, for years I struggled with sexual immorality, and many of us have. And here's what it did. When I actually was walking through those things in unseen ways, it made marriage unrealistic, or my expectations of what sex was unrealistic, and I put that on my wife and it broke. And we have had to walk through that. But what was that? That was the fruit of feeding the seed of sin, and the roots were shallow and hollow, and when things hit the fan, I fell over quick. One of the biggest things we don't talk about today is the fruit of idleness. We are a distracted people. I mentioned last week, we love to doom scroll. We love to stay distracted and for hours on end scroll through our phones and just be idle. And we love to be comfortable. And really, this is the sin of idolatry that are explained here in the works of the flesh. I'll get to spending time with God tomorrow. I don't need it today. I'm just too busy for community and actual deep, accountable friendships. I'll get to that soon enough. Or I'll just watch from home from here on out every single week, and I won't gather with his in-person body because it's easier and more comfortable to stay at a distance than engage with the people week in, week out. We feed the sin of idleness so often as a people. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way. He was a pastor from of old who I mentioned last week, but he says, "There is joy in hell when a saint grows idle. There is gladness among devils when we cease to pray, when we become slack in faith and feeble in communion with God." We feed the seed of sin, of idleness in our lives because we're either so busy we make excuses not to feed our faith, and it leaves us shallow in our relationship with God, or so slothful with our comforts that we eventually just settle. Hey, this is the shallow-rooted, unhealthy relationship with God in life. That's just what it is. But that is not how we were designed to live. If you actually look at the list of the works of the flesh, you'd see that all of these fruits really are so easily to be produced in our lives. And why? It's because it's shallow and it blooms up quick. It's easy to be impure. Just pull out your phone. It's easy to be jealous. I can say of three things I've already been jealous for today. It just is so easy to happen. It's easy to cause division and say, that person hurt me, I'm not going to talk to them. It's easy. Because these things don't go down deep at all. But what does Paul say to us? If we practice such things, if we do such things, he says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will be severed from Christ. It talks about, Paul talks to the Galatians earlier. Christ will stop being formed in you because you are engaging in these things, the seed of sin you are watering. And ultimately, you will be severed. You won't stand firm like Galatians 5:1 speaks. But you will tip over when storms because your roots are shallow and hollow. It's because we are feeding the seed of sin that we have shallow and hollow roots. But a life with God, a life submitted to Jesus, was never meant for shallow and hollow roots with unhealthy fruit, but we were meant for human flourishing, to subdue the earth, to be fruitful and multiply with a God that we are intimately acquainted with. And it comes through deep, abiding roots that produce healthy fruit. And let's look at what the fruits of the Spirit are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are these things easy to become today? Can we just be a person of love? Or does it take time as we have deeper roots into who Jesus is? Or have joy when things go wrong? Is it easy to have joy when things don't go your way? Or peace when all things are swirling? Or being patient in the chaos of our lives? Kind when someone has hurt you? Gentle when you want to bite someone back? Faithful at your job when they wrong you or look over you for what you are going through? Gentle when you want to bite someone back? Self-control when you want to feed your flesh at a moment's notice? But as these fruits come to bear in our lives, don't we see how really love aids our soul in our relationships? Don't we see how we can be joyful with others and joyful at an unknown future, knowing that God is in control and we can live in hope? We can be kind by turning the other cheek when someone hurts us, or giving others what they don't deserve, faithful and steadfast when others turn away in times that are hard. You see, no one will see these things in your life and be like, hey, can you stop being more loving? Can you stop being patient? No one's going to be saying that to you. Why? Because against such things, there is no law. You can't speak against these things because these are from someone who has a new heart that grows by the Spirit of God in deeply rooted lives. So my question for you is, if you are to give an honest accounting for your spiritual walk today, which list of fruits represents more of your life today? The one, the evidence of the spirit of the flesh, does that represent more of where you're currently walking with the Lord? Or does the fruits of the Spirit represent more of your life today? Is it shallow, rooted, and hollow? Let's be honest. God knows. Or is the life-giving fruit of the Spirit, does your community say, hey, I see you be more loving and kind? Which list better represents your current state of the walk with Jesus today? But the question still remains, how do these fruits come to bear in our lives? Like I said before, not by focusing on the fruit, but by cultivating and feeding deep roots. See, I want to show you a picture of another tree today, called the shepherd's tree. I bet you never thought you'd come in today and be an arborist by the sermon's end, learning all about trees. So some of you may know this tree, some of you may not. But the shepherd's tree mainly grows in South African countries. And there's really nothing impressive about it from the outside looking in. It gets maybe to 18 to 20 feet tall. It grows in this dry climate. But the people of South Africa call this tree the tree of life. Why? Why do they call it the tree of life? Because medicinally, the leaves serve a purpose for treating inflammation within humans. It can be used for medical purposes. And the fruit, the berries that it produces are food for animals and food for humans in times of scarcity. And even the trunk and the roots can be ground down for a substitute for coffee, because we know coffee is God's gift to mankind. But they use it for coffee, for porridge, for keeping milk and butter. All of the tree is used, hence why it's called the tree of life. But one of the most fascinating things about the shepherd's tree, which is so aptly called, is what you don't see. Because this is the second deepest rooted tree in the world. Its roots go 230 feet into the ground. You don't see it. It doesn't produce anything impressive, but the life and purposes that it serves is immense. And why is that? Because the roots go deep into the ground. And that is imagery for us today. That if we want to experience the amazing fruit of the Spirit in our lives, if we want to be people who feed other people with our lives, it's not going to come from staring at being more loving, being more kind, being more patient. That will only lead to self-focus, self-absorption, earning, striving, everything that Paul has been speaking against. But only by abiding in Christ will we live deeply rooted lives that produce a tree of life in us. And that is my third point, is only by abiding in Christ will we have deeply rooted lives. Paul says in verse 24, he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What Paul is saying to the Galatians and to us is that on our own, in our own efforts, in our own earning, we are dead to the power of flesh, to its desires. And those works of the flesh will be what dominates our hearts, not being able to stand. Even John Owen speaks to this idea of doing it ourselves when he wrote up something called The Mortification of Sins. And he says this, mortification from a self-strength carried on by ways of self-invention until the end of a self-righteousness is the soul and substance of all false religion in the world. It is not possible. Doing it on our own is not possible. But verse 24 that Paul puts forward shows us that God's work in us, only by abiding and walking in daily dependent relationship with Jesus, will we kill sin in our lives. and see the Spirit of God work on us in deep ways. At the beginning of the year, we purposely started a series in John 15 about abiding in the vine. And I want to read verses John 15, verses 3 through 5 for us today. It speaks to this idea. Jesus says, "Already you are clean. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Jesus says, "I'm the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." It's only by the grace of God, by abiding with Christ, that we can grow deep-rooted lives that stamps out sin and the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow. John Owen also puts another quote forward. He says, "The Spirit alone brings the cross of Christ into our hearts with its sin-killing power. For by the Spirit we are baptized into the death of Christ." And so that leaves me in, where do we go from here? It's only by keeping in step with the Spirit will we grow deeper roots. Only by keeping in step with the Spirit will we grow deeper roots. And Paul ends in Galatians 5. He says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." What he's saying there is, let us continue to grow deeper roots by walking in step with the Spirit. And so how do we, on a practical level, day by day, walk and keep in step with the Spirit? And I'm going to tell you, these are going to be revelational steps for you if you implement. And you've probably heard me say them 4,000 times in 10 months. But I'm going to keep on repeating them, because if we just did these simple things, you want to see us sin go to death in our hearts and lives and fruit be grown in our lives if we just did these simple things. And how do we keep in step with the Spirit? One of them is spend time with Jesus daily. Spend time with Jesus daily. We often say, "Hey, I've read my 5 minutes, I've read my verse of the day, and I'm good." And we leave. We read it. But imagine if we as a people spent time with Jesus daily, the creator God of the world that wants to be in relationship with us, where we not only read his word in scripture, but we allowed his Spirit to sift our hearts with what the scripture actually means for us. What it reveals about who we are and who we aren't. What if we meditated on the scripture throughout the day? What if we actually implemented silence and solitude within our relationship with God? How we let him speak to us, not only just us speaking at him. You want to see us keep in step with the Spirit? Spend time with Jesus daily. Don't just settle for, "Well, I got to go to work, get up earlier. Well, I have that appointment I got to get to. I can't." No, read on the way, listen on the way. Spend time with Jesus daily, and you want to see sin diminished by the Spirit's work in your life, you'll see his word come alive in you and Jesus be formed in you in deeper and truer ways. Spend time with Jesus daily. Secondly, do what God commands today. Do what God commands today. You know, we've been speaking, Paul is speaking to the Galatians of this idea, hey, it's not about the law. It's not about doing things to earn from God. But when I say do what God commands today, you don't do them out of a place of greater earning, because you have already been provided that from a relationship with God, a Jesus who died on your behalf. And because you are in relationship with him, you should want to do the things he commands you to do. Are we looking over the things where it says, put away foolishness? Are we doing dumb things and just being like, ha ha, and playing around with sin? Are we putting ourselves in position to be vulnerable to the desires of the flesh? Are we gossiping and talking about other people in ways that aren't God-honoring? Are we watching pornography? Are we playing in relationships that aren't covenant marriage relationships before God has fully designed that to be? Hey, stop it. Live as he commands you to live. And I promise you, you will keep in step with the Spirit and you will be fully deployed, ever increasing, to see the freedom in Christ that you have been purposed for. Do what this book says from a place of relational rest, because Jesus did it all and now you can do what he says. And he's not out to rob you, he's out to give you life. And lastly, I can say many other things, but run and grow in accountable community. We're going to be transitioning to Galatians 6, where we're going to talk about community. But I want us to be a people that don't just show up on a Sunday morning, say, I got my fill, and throughout the week, we're just on our own. The reason why we have community groups or small groups, the reason why we do men's studies, women's studies, college adults, college and young adult studies, aren't just to put you around the word, but they're putting you around people to run after community who can speak into your life, where you can bring things in committed community with other people who are walking probably through the same issues and tendencies that you have. It's not just to show up and say, hey, this is who I am. It's to bring everything, 100% of who you are and who you aren't to the forefront and say, can you walk with me? Hey, I'm getting angrier easier. Can you help walk with me through? The church isn't a bunch of people that got it all together. No, it's a church. It's a bunch of broken people around a perfect God. So we should be lifting one another up daily, regularly, encouraging one another evermore as the day draws near. Can we be a people that run after community and not just think it's a good idea or hey, you know, that's a commitment. I'm already committed. No, this is a commitment that God has given you as a grace, is his church, to know and learn more about him. You want to keep in step with the Spirit today? Spend time with Jesus, your creator, daily. Run towards accountable community and just do what he says. Not to earn, but by the Spirit's power in you, you will see him grow and you will keep in step with the Spirit. So in closing, as Paul states to the Galatians, we must remember that there is a war in our hearts as Christians about which seed is fed. The seed of sin or the seed of the gospel. And healthy fruits only come from deep, healthy, abiding roots. And you can only live out deep roots if we are abiding in Christ. And as we abide in Christ, we will see the Spirit of God work in our lives as we spend time with him, as we spend time with his people, calling us out of darkness into light, and also doing what he says. You will see this fruit being born in our lives, and we'll be more loving. We'll be more patient. We'll be more at peace. We'll be more joyful. Because not because we're focusing on the fruits, but we're focusing on the root that is in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we are grateful. We are grateful that you are a God that didn't just stay at a distance, but you came near. God, that you are a father that loves us and cares for us. And God, you just didn't want to leave us abandoned, but you've given us your Spirit if we believe in you. As yourself, the helper, Christ being formed in us by your Spirit. And I pray that we understand there is a war, but we also understand that you've already won the final war. That you have already secured our relationship with you. And as we submit to you day by day, as we spend time knowing about who you are, as we continue by your Spirit's grace to put sin to death in our lives by depending on you and you alone, God, we will produce fruit not only in our lives but through us, and we will see your hands and feet produce beautiful things in our midst. God, we need you today. God, we need you to do a new work in us, in my heart, to continue to put sin to death. And it's only by depending on you. Help us today, God. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let us stand in response to the word and worship today.